Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 27 on Through the Word, with two stories today. The first on women's rights, and the second is the end of an era. First, we take on some controversial territory with the rights and place of women in the Bible. What does the Bible say about women, anyway? The chapter begins with five sisters, the daughters of Zelophehad, who approached Moses with a problem. They came forward, and in verse 2, they stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers, who banded together against the Lord. But he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan? Because he had no son. Give us property among our father's relatives." Now, before we tackle the issue, first consider what these women did with their issue. They brought it to the leaders at the entrance to the tent of meeting. I like that. Bring your questions to the tent of meeting, where Christians gather around the word of God. Ask for God's wisdom. Now, the question these five sisters bring is a challenge. Dad died in the desert. He had no sons, just five girls. Now, here's the problem. In the chapter we just finished, God directed Moses to distribute the land among all the tribes and families. That's great, but each family was reckoned by the adult men. That's what they counted, right? So here are five women, a whole family of unmarried sisters, and they didn't figure into the equation. They would have no land. So they step up and say, "Give us property among our relatives." This is a big deal. Land meant a home. It meant pastures and fields, animals and work. Land was foundational to the life ahead of them. But if land was so important, why was it allotted to the men in the first place? Isn't that sexist? Be careful now and read carefully. This is important, so I'll address this quickly, because you will hear claims that the Bible is a sexist book, that it promotes male supremacy and devalues women. I disagree. Examine the cultures of the world, and you will find that women have been mistreated, devalued, and generally dishonored throughout history. Treatment of women worldwide is a sad story, and religion has often been used to keep women down. The world is messed up. But understand this, God's plan of redemption is a plan to restore all things to the righteous state, and especially to restore humans back into the image of our Creator. Colossians 3:11 and Galatians 3:28 are massive verses. When God restores mankind into his image, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus eliminates every line of man-made superiority, racism, classism, and sexism. No more me greater than you, but all are united. All are one in Jesus Christ. Now, that does not mean that men and women are the same. That's foolishness. It means men and women are redeemed. That means restored to their God-given value and equality. Men are made to be men, and women are made to be women. And what it means to be man or woman is restored when we are in Christ. Now, has the church always lived that out? No. The world creeps in. But search history, and you will find that where the gospel has gone, the pure gospel of Christ, equality is slowly restored, between races, between classes, and between sexes. Where the gospel has not gone, the place of women remains devalued. Where the gospel is perverted and abused for power, as it sadly has been, the church looks just like another pagan religion. Remember chapter 25? God was angry when his people acted like the rest of the world. Specifically, when they treated women as prostitutes. The pagans forced women into prostitution for their gods. When Israel copied them, God punished the men who did it, because they dishonored God by mistreating women. Okay, I will not attempt to answer every possible argument here, but I will address this chapter. Here in Numbers, was it sexist to assign the land to the men? Answer: the land was not assigned to the men. It was assigned to families. This is essential. The promised land was given to families and stayed in families. Land was not bought and sold, and families didn't move around and split in 1,000 different directions. Family was the core structure of society. Life was built around a stable family, and as the family grew, they stayed on the land. That was God's plan for Israel. So the land was assigned to families, and men were responsible as the leaders of those families. So it was allotted according to the men, not their property, their responsibility in leading their family. Read the laws and you will find that it is designed to strengthen family, protect women and orphans, and keep the land in the family. Why? Because family was the structure that kept everyone safe. The strength of the father, the nurture of the mother, the whole family, with a land to call home. Now, if you equate leadership with superiority, that's worldly. In God's kingdom, the servant is the greatest. The man of the family was to serve by leading and lead by serving. So the land was passed on from fathers to sons, and they worked that land to provide for their wife and kids. But what happens when there are no sons, just 5 daughters? Now, if the women were lesser than men, then you would think it would go to some other men. Forget the daughters. And every other culture in Moses' day would have agreed with that. But Moses didn't jump to conclusions. In verse 5, so Moses brought their case before the Lord. I like that. What do you do when you can't find the answer in the Bible? Bring it before God. James 1, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he answers. And the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives, and give their father's inheritance to them. So God says yes. The land was given to the family, and the daughters are that family. While the pagan religions of the world left the fatherless and the widows without property and without hope, the God of Israel protected and provided. The second half of the chapter is the beginning of the end for Moses, the leader of the people, the oldest man remaining by more than 40 years, the man who spoke to God as man speaks to his friend, the humble hero, will be dying soon. Now don't start tearing up just yet. He doesn't die until the end of Deuteronomy. But God is getting his friend ready. You will see the land, but you won't enter, Moses. You will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. Moses' response is pretty incredible. He doesn't complain that he will miss the land, doesn't demand his rights. He only asks that the Lord appoint a man to lead. In verse 17, to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Moses cares for the people who frustrated him, who challenged him, who never stopped complaining to him and about him. Moses wants to know that the Lord's people will have a shepherd. Jesus used the same phrase when he looked over the multitudes and saw them harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw and had compassion. Here we see the humble heart of a man of God in leadership, never forcing others to serve him, but serving others for their good, as a good shepherd. It's not about me leading, it's about the people being led. And so God does provide a new shepherd. Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit, is commissioned and given authority. Joshua, whose name means the Lord saves, is God's man to lead the people into all that God promised.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.